lights are nice, aren't they? I couldn't help but notice Bob Tucker. Bob, you are dressed. I've got the tie and you've got the coat. Bob, would you stand? I mean, they need to see that coat. There's the coat. Here's the tie. Boy, fitting for the day. We are delighted to have everyone here, especially our visitors. We are so grateful that you're here with us. Past two Sundays, on Sunday evening 2 weeks ago, and then last Sunday morning, we have carefully contemplated the incarnation of our Savior. And this morning, we continue that in a little different note. I'm going to ask you to mark two passages of Scripture. The first one is in Luke chapter 2, which we had looked at last week and this morning in Bible class. Luke 2, you would find that and mark it, please, and then turn back into the Old Testament, Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. We'll begin reading in a few moments at verse 6 of Isaiah 9. Winston Pierce wrote a book many years ago called Windowsill of Heaven. And in that book, he recounted a very troubling time in the life of William and Mary College in Williamsburg, Virginia. He said that during the Civil War and the years following the Civil War, William and Mary College struggled just to survive. And finally, in 1881, they closed their doors, and for 7 years, there was no William and Mary College. But for those 7 years, there was no students to learn, there were no faculty members to teach, and rain dripped through the decaying roof on the abandoned buildings. But for those 7 years, when there wasn't a college, the president of that college, Dr. Ewell, went to that college every single morning and rang the chapel bell. For 7 years, through winter snow and summer sun, Dr. Ewell went to that chapel and rang that bell. It was an extremely bleak time in our nation's history. And yet, to the town of Williamsburg and all around the countryside, the tone of that bell ringing out was dedication to a man who lived by faith, who rang out a bell of hope. It was saying times will, in fact, get better. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, we find a very similar situation. It's an extremely bleak and dark time in Israel's history. Things were looking awful. A cloud was hanging on the horizon. God's judgment was coming on His people. And yet, throughout it all, as Isaiah prophesied the things that were going to happen to Israel, there is a bell that rang with hope. It says this, chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, listen, and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that day on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In the midst of a grim, dark, bleak time, Isaiah prophesied hope. That a Savior is coming. A child will be born that will change things in life for people. And the people of Israel clung to that hope and lived with that hope and for years longed for that hope. And finally, in Luke chapter 2, we find fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. We read it last week. We read it this morning in Bible class. We'll read it again in this assembly. Beginning in verse 1 of Luke 2, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today is born in the house of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom His favor rests." The angels had left them and had gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. You know, the coming of Messiah, the coming of the Christ, was going to ring a note of victory for God that would forever be enjoyed. And we have looked at it the past couple of weeks from a couple of different perspectives. Last week especially, we did a real in-depth look at the birth of Jesus and theological issues that come out of that. But this morning, I want to share a very thing of Jesus means for me. It is in this time of year, I suppose, that I get a little more reflective than maybe I ought and maybe more personal than I ought. But I want to share with you this morning, as I reflected this week on the coming of Jesus, what His coming means to me, in hopes that His coming will also mean the same to you. Number one, the coming of Jesus means to me that He came to enter into my struggle. He came to enter into my struggle. And as I look at His life entering this thing called humanity, as I contemplate Him taking off the robes of royalty in heaven and clothing Himself with the limitations of humanity and living as we live and dying the death that I'd say, thanks be to God He came to enter my struggle. Philip Anderson wrote a story that I read this past week. His sister is a nurse in a children's care unit in Southern California. He said he went to visit his sister not too long ago, and she was giving him a tour of the children's unit in this hospital where she works. He said as she was giving him the tour through that part of the hospital, she could hear continuously a cry coming from one of the rooms down there on the wing. And as she made her way, showing him each room and telling a little bit about what this did and what that did, she finally came to the room where the cry was coming. He said he walked over to the crib where the baby was. It was about a one-year-old little boy. He said he was laying there and he was covered in scratches and bruises and scars. And he thought, my first reaction was, he must have been the victim of some incredible accident. But he said, as I looked more closely at his legs, I could see that written in ink on his legs were obscenities that had been written there by his parents. He said, my sister told me that he was not the victim some accident. He was the victim of his parents. He said there were scars on the bottom of the baby's feet that had been put there by cigarette burns that his dad had put in that baby's feet. And he said, as I looked down on that one-year-old child covered in scratches and bruises, he said, the depth of man's sin finally dawned on me, that a human being could do that to a baby. He said, then I watched my sister as she did something unusual. He said she reached into the crib and picked up that little one-year-old child and held him real close to her. He said the baby started crying all the louder, as if at age one, the baby had already begun to wonder about the touch of someone else. But he said she stood there holding that baby to her, and loving that baby, and swaying with the baby there in the floor, and humming lullabies to the baby. And after just a little bit, the baby calmed down and quieted. And he said he felt the need to cry no more. I read that story, and I reread that story, and I reread that story. And it dawned on me that that is exactly what God has done for me. That the coming of Jesus means to me that He has come and entered into my life. And that my soul is battered and scarred as it is because of sin. That Jesus came to my life at a time when all He did was just hold me and love me. When I understood that Jesus loved me to the depth that He does, I felt the need to cry no more. Jesus' coming means to me He's come to enter into my struggle and to identify with what I struggle with, the pains I have to face in life. Fulton Sheen was asked the question years ago before he died, what was the most memorable moment in your life? He said, the most memorable moment to me was going to a leper colony in Africa. He said, there were 500 lepers in that colony. He said, knowing there were exactly 500, he said, I bought 500 small silver crosses to give to each one of those lepers. He said, I arrived on the scene and all of the lepers were there, gathered out there to meet me. He said, the first one came and he said, I looked at him and he said, he only had the stump of a left arm. And he said, his right hand and arm were covered in nodules, symptomatic of nodular leprosy. And he said, his hand was so deformed by the nodules. And he said, I held that silver cross up several inches above his hand and dropped it into the palm of his hand. And when I saw that cross hit the palm of that man's hand, it dawned on me, there are not 500 lepers in their colony. There are now 501, and I'm the most leprous of them all. Where he said, I took the symbol of deity. I took the symbol of compassion at its utmost. I took the symbol of what God is about and dropped it without compassion into the hand of a man who hurts. He said, it dawned on me then how easy it is to love humanity in general, how hard it is to love a particular person. How easy it is to help the lepers, but how hard it is to love a particular leper. As I thought about that, I thought about Jesus coming to embrace my own leprous spiritual life. He didn't just drop something into my hand, He gave Himself. Jesus coming means to me He entered into my struggle. Number two, Jesus coming means to me peace. I emphasized in both of the readings what God emphasized, peace. Isaiah prophesied that of His government and of peace there shall be no end. And whenever the angels came and sang to the shepherds or stated to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. I thought about how little our world knows about peace. I cut this newspaper article out of the paper Friday morning's front page of the Daily Oklahoman. Terrorist link with Pan Am crash probed. And on the second page, there is this statement which tells us how. An anonymous man telephoned the Associated Press Bureau in London and said, we, the guardians of the Islamic Revolution, are undertaking this, listen, heroic execution in revenge of blowing the Iran airplane by America a few months ago and keeping the Shah's family in America. Would you listen to this? We are very proud. And the callers hung up immediately. What our world knows about peace is so foreign to the peace that God offers. Our world knows about peace in terms of revolution, terroristic activity, and revenge. And Jesus comes and he says, I come to leave with you peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. As I reflected this past week, I thought about my early childhood. And then up into my adolescent years and early adult life. I grew up fighting. My little brother was here last week. He could tell you. My parents stayed in trouble with the neighbors the whole time I was growing up because I was in a fight with somebody every week. I don't know where I picked it up, but I figured that the way I made a statement as to who I was to fight, beat up somebody on the block. And I was in a fight all the time in my early childhood. Got up to be about seventh grade. I think the last fight I had was seventh or eighth grade. I finally realized those guys were getting a lot bigger than I was. And so I quit fighting with people physically. There was still war going on inside. I think the fighting externally was just symptomatic of what was going on in the inside. I quit warring with people, especially myself. But most of all, I quit warring with God. Jesus' coming meant to me peace. And for the first time in my life, I could in fact lay my head down at night with no turmoil inside. His coming means peace. And this morning, if you are in turmoil and there is that symptomatic stuff of you're always in conflict with someone, you know what you need more than anything else? You need the peace of God. The coming of Jesus is specifically that you might have peace. As I reflected this week, there was one more thing it meant to me. Not only that he entered my struggle, and not only that he came to give me peace, but that I have good news of great joy. And if there's anything in my life that ought to be reflected, it is the good news of great joy that I need to share with the people around me. It was interesting to me that the shepherds, the first thing they did was to go and tell people all of the things that they had learned that night. As I reflected this week what the coming of Jesus means to me, it means that I too need to go and share the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. And that Savior loved you enough, loved me enough to go to a tree on a garbage dump outside Jerusalem and give his life as a ransom for my sinners. That is good news of great joy. And no matter what the circumstances of this life might bring, no matter what pain we might face, no matter what emptiness you might feel, there is good news of great joy that a Savior's born. He's Christ the Lord. And more specifically, he wants to be your Savior. And he wants to be your Lord. And he invites you this morning to come and to share in that, in fact, right now. Would you come to him while we stand together and sing?